for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday evening, October the 27th, 2005. Norman Parrish is the speaker of this service.
Well, good evening. I've been blessed. Have you? Have you enjoyed this conference? Yeah, sure. This has been a good one. I think it's been one of the best I've attended in 25 years. Amen? They haven't all been deliverance conferences, but they've been conferences where the Holy Ghost is manifested in and through the preachers. So I hope you come back next year. It's the last week of October, remember? Isn't it always? Right before Halloween. So you're...
Right, we beat the witches out. We have deliverance conference right before Halloween.
Okay, I've asked Chris to read scripture tonight so we don't waste time. This morning, different people helped read scripture, but I don't think it'll come out in the recording. There'll be a loss. So I've asked Chris, I hope he can read.
I'll try, brother, I'll try.
I think he does do a pretty good job reading scripture. And so we're going to read scripture and just study. We're going to have a Bible study. It's not going to be a rip-roaring evangelistic sermon. You won't see me standing on my head up here. We don't have time for that. Amen? I'm not here to entertain. I'm here to challenge. I don't have time to waste. Do you? These are critical days. Okay, we're going to talk about reigning in life. What is the subject?
Reigning in life.
And you might be asking yourself, what does that have to do with deliverance? What is that to do with spiritual warfare? You'll find out. You'll find out. So we're going to start reading in the book of Romans. If you please open there, chapter 5. And we'll just read one verse. We could read 6 or 8 verses to get all the context. I don't think it's necessary. We'll read verse 17, Romans 5:17.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Can you repeat that with me? Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What is the will of God for you and for me? That we all reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Here, Paul is contrasting the first Adam with the last Adam. I believe what humanity lost because of the failure of the first Adam, we can recover. Amen? Through the obedience of the last Adam. Now, when man was created, what was he created for? Genesis 1:27-28. Look for the verse. Now, how many have other translations that differ from the King James? I'll need some help because there's one or two verses that in Spanish say one thing and in English say another thing. And I think some of the Spanish translations are better than the English translations. So I want you that have various versions to look up the scripture, please. And if they differ in any way, raise your hand, stand, and read. So we get a complete picture of what God wants us to hear. Now, read
Genesis 1:27-28. Okay. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living
There's
thing.
There's two
that
words
moves
that stand out
the
there, okay, Chris? Subdue. And what is the other word? Dominion. Man was created to what? To subdue, to reign. He was created to take dominion over all of God's creation. And when he fell, when he failed, what happened? He lost it all. Let's now look at Psalm 8, 5 and 6. Folks, take notes if you can. If not, buy the CD. Order the CD.
Okay.
Psalm 8.
5 to 6. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet.
Do you see the word crowned with glory and honor? And you made him to have dominion. So man was created originally to what? To be a slave or to be a king? To reign over the whole earth, to have dominion over all creation. But sad to say, Adam and naturally Eve, well, they share the blame, lost it all. But brethren, Jesus came, became man, 100% man. God didn't only clothe himself with a human body, God became man. There's a big, big, big difference. God became a man. He still is a man. The man is seated at the right hand of the Father. True or false? And I have said, and I'm going to say it with all reverence, perhaps Jesus Christ, the Son, the second person of the deity of the Godhead, is condemned to live in that human body the rest of eternity. Have you seen a verse anywhere in the Bible that says God, he's going to shed that body? Is he going to throw it away? Now that's a minor point. But he is our representative. He's the ideal man, and he is seated at the Father, reigning and ruling tonight. Amen? He's reigning from the right hand of the Father. You know, we say Jesus coming to reign. When I went to Biola in the West Coast, great school, I was taught the theory of the deferred kingdom. What does defer mean? Put off, postponed, delayed. They said Christ came, offered the kingdom, was rejected, so it was postponed for a latter age, the kingdom age, the millennium, that we don't need to preach the kingdom. That even many of the principles Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount and in other portions of Scripture, the parables, the mysteries of the kingdom, they have nothing to do with us today. Imagine that. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ is so poor. Amen? I was just a kid, 19, and I was stupid enough to say, I don't believe that. Really, I did. I rejected that cheap teaching. I believed in the kingdom since I was in Bible school. The kingdom today. The present day manifestation of the kingdom in and through us. Amen? Okay. Now Romans chapter 5 says that we were created to, in Christ Jesus, this is talking about the new creation, to do what? To reign in life. Amen? Do we have any example of this happening? Or is it just speculation? Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Just let me get it, please. I thought I had it written down here, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. You found it?
Okay.
Go ahead. Now you do this. Now.
Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. A word to God, you did reign, that we also might reign with you.
Some people say that Paul was being sarcastic. Now, perhaps the church of Corinth wasn't the best choice to illustrate this truth. They have problems. They're there, didn't they? Well, all churches have problems. But Paul is giving testimony to the fact that that church, some people in that church, had entered into what? Kingship. Read it again, please. Notice the word now.
Now you are full. Now
stop.
You are
rich. I'm going to interrupt you. Now you're what?
Full.
Can we say that about the church today?
Now you are rich.
Can we say that about the church today? Well, maybe in a financial, but not in a spiritual sense.
You have reigned as king.
Just a minute, brother.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. But the Bible says that we share in the riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That has material implications and spiritual implications. So this church, there were people in the church, some at least, that were full and that were rich. Now, having those two qualifications, then the rest can come true. Go ahead, read it, please, Chris.
You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you.
If you're going to reign in life, you have to be full, and you have to be rich. Amen? Those are necessary qualifications. You'll never reign if you're empty, so you've got to fill yourself up with God. And you'll never reign if you're poor. You need to share in the true wealth that only God can give. Now it says, go ahead, read the second part of the verse, brother.
And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you.
He wasn't envious like we are. Paul said, I hope it's true. I've heard the reports, and I hope to God that they are true, because then if you reign, we reign. We're in the same boat. We reign together. Amen. Okay. Now, there are many verses that talk about kingship. And we're going to quickly read two or three or four. 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a chosen generation. And what else? Royal priesthood. Revelation 1:5. Come on, somebody quote it. We should know these verses by memory, brethren. Did you know that? But we are extremely poor in any scriptural knowledge about the kingdom of God. What does it say in Revelation 1:5?
Okay, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Doesn't say that, and he has made us kings and priests?
Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Do we need any more proof? Do we need any more scriptural evidence that God wants us to be what? Okay. Now let's read Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to reign? On the earth. And when are we going to reign? Now, in this life. So God wants to establish His kingdom in us. And He wants to use us to establish His kingdom around the earth. Nobody said amen. If you're happy with nominal Christianity, go on in your self-delusion. But there's a better life in Christ. Amen, brethren? What I want to establish with these verses that God wants us to partake in His kingdom now. I enjoyed Brother Dorman's teaching this afternoon. He said that God has given us the kingdom. We don't have to go around asking for it. God has already given us the kingdom. All we have to do is take it. Huh? And what else? And enjoy it. And exemplify it. And make it known by word and deed in the world today. The agent of the kingdom of God on earth today is the church. Your church ought to be an agency of the kingdom of God. Your church, and I'll even reduce it more, your home ought to be a community of the kingdom of God. The kingdom principles ought to be instilled in the life of your family and of your congregation. That's what we've been called to experience. Do you agree with me as to do that? Now, I have a lot of verses here, and I'm not going to read them tonight because we would never get out of here, and I'm driving with my son, or he's driving with his dad, to Houston tonight. We're going to drive through the night. I've got to go to the Rio Grande Valley this weekend and then on to Toronto, Canada, and I have to be back in Guatemala in a week. So I've got a lot of hard work to do. And by the way, thank you for praying for me. I'm feeling much better. I'm eating better. Yes, Paul, my appetite has returned. I felt hungry for the first time in many weeks. And I regained a little bit of my color and a little bit of my strength. And I think I've even gained 2 or 3 pounds. Okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think this is because I obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ in coming here. Okay? The conference in California I was going to attend was much, much larger than this. But I chose to come here. Okay? Are you ready, folks? Now, let's look at some conditions we must fulfill in order to reign in life, in this life, in this world, now. You want to know the conditions so you can meet them? The first is right there in Romans 5. Could you read that verse again, 5:17, I think it is?
Alrighty. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one.
Jesus Who Christ. Shall reign in life by one? By Jesus Christ. Who? Yeah, but what is the condition we must fulfill to be able to do that?
Abundance
it
of grace.
It says that we receive abundance of grace, not just the ordinary grace. Just enough grace to get forgiven and get saved. No, we have to receive abundance of grace. And through grace receive the free gift of righteousness. Amen? So what do we need? We need to be declared righteous in order to reign. How many believe that? Through grace we enter in part to partake of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You maybe have met that first requirement. Well, you might lack because you have experienced grace, but has it been abundance of grace? Think about that. Condition number 2. Let me get these notes. Ecclesiastes 4:14. I'm slipping off this chair. Somebody will have to pick me up.
Okay. For out of prison he comes to reign.
I'll stop there. Read it again.
For out of prison he comes to reign.
What is the second requirement?
You got to get out of prison.
What's that? Get out of prison. What's that? Deliverance. If you're not willing to humble yourself and to repent and to submit, listen, this is in-depth deliverance. Some of the deliverance today is very shallow. They just skim the surface. The surface demons. But there's some that are deeply entrenched. Now read it again. They came or he came out of?
For out of prison he comes to reign.
Okay. The second condition is deliverance. You'll never, never, never reign from your prison house. If you're in bondage, forget it. Okay. I want us to read 2 examples. Psalm 105:17-22. Well, maybe this one we won't read fully. It's too long. But it's the story of Joseph. Now, God had said that Joseph was going to reign. Had he or hadn't he?
Yes.
He had 2 visions.
Or dreams.
The dream of the sheaves of the field and the dream of the stars of the heavens. And both dreams had to do with what? With dominion. He was going to reign over his family, over his tribe, over his nation. But where did he end? Where did he end up? In the caboose. in jail. He was sold into slavery. He was raffled. He was sold at the public market. And Potiphar bought him, used him as his own personal slave. And when the wife tried to seduce him and he wouldn't just submit to her, to her enchantments, where did he end? In jail. And he was there for years. Some calculated he was there from 17, 18 years of age to 30. All his dreams went up in smoke until the baker, the cupbearer, showed up. And Joseph, who was a prophet, interpreted their dreams. One was released, the other was beheaded. The man that was released, the baker, returned to the palace to serve Pharaoh. And Pharaoh had a dream. Do you remember what the dream was about? Cows, 7 years of abundance, 7 years of famine. And he was disturbed. He didn't understand. He brought all the magicians and all the wizards, and no one could interpret his dream. And he was so sad that the cupbearer said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I've had a dream, and I urgently need to know what it means." And none of these goons can interpret the dream. And the cupbearer said, oh, I forgot to tell you that there's a young Hebrew in jail that has extraordinary prophetic gifts. King said, "Call him right now. Now, now." So they bathed them and perfumed them and clothed them with some better clothes, and he was rushed into the presence of the king. And within hours, he had what? He had interpreted the dream. And the king said, "If this is true, that there's going to be 5, 7 years of abundance in heaven, 7 years of famine, I need a man to manage this whole thing. A man that's undefiled, uncorrupted, incorruptible." And who better than? Listen, in one day, he came out of prison and he ended up where? On the throne. Second to Pharaoh over Egypt, the most powerful nation of that day and that age. He was the real ruler of Egypt. Pharaoh was just a figurehead. In order to rule, he had to come out of where? Is the principle biblical? Now let's read 2 Kings 25, 27 through 30.
2 Kings 25, 27
through 30.
And it came to pass, in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, the 12th month and the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, the year that he began to reign, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiachin.
Listen to that. He decided to lift up the head of who?
Jehoiachin. How do you say it?
Continue to read.
Of Judah out of prison. And he spake kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of the kings that were with him in Babylon.
Isn't that marvelous? He decided to lift up his head to do what? To sit on the throne above all the kings that were at that time living in Babylon. Now, this is where we'd like to get some help from other translations. Will somebody read the second part of that verse where it says he lifted up his head so that he could reign?
In another version?
Yes. Another version. Come on, folks. If it differs, go ahead, Richard. There it is. He did what? That's deliverance. And go ahead, read. When you're delivered, God gives you preferential treatment. Ha ha. Amen. Read again. Gave him preferential treatment to what? Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Is this the right principle that in order to reign, you have to be released from prison? You have to be delivered. See, brethren, deliverance is not just casting out two or three little pesky demons just to make you feel a little better. to get rid of a little bit of your depression, or to get rid of a little of your some little physical ailment. No, no, no. God wants you to release you from prison so that you can fulfill your eternal destiny, which is to reign with Christ now, in this world, in this age. I think we have not understood deliverance. Someday I'll write a book about this, if I can get to it. Don't you think it's important?
Mm-hmm.
Extremely, extremely important, brother. God's not playing games with us. This is serious business. Because we're in the end times, and God wants to raise a generation of kings and queens to represent His king, His kingdom honorably on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Condition number 3. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 12. In order to be delivered, you must be justified. In order to be delivered, you must be delivered. I mean, in order to become,
right.
In order to reign, you must be justified. In order to reign, you must be
delivered.
Now 3. Read, please, Chris.
2 Kings 11, 12. And they brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king.
Okay. And then he made him king by anointing him. Somebody have a different translation could read there? Reed Richards or somebody. What is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? To tickle your fancy? To give you spiritual goosebumps? To make you feel good and that you can babble a few words in some strange tongue to impress people? No, no, no. God wants to anoint you so that you can reign with Christ in this world today. The thoughts are lofty. They're beyond our comprehension. And we have examples. We're not going to read them. Saul, King Saul. When Saul appeared before Samuel, the Holy Ghost told Samuel, this is the man. And get up and anoint him. And he anointed him king. And then he introduced him to God's people. And most accepted him, a few rejected him. And Saul was the first king of Israel. And whether you believe it or not, it says that God chose him. The people didn't. God chose him. It was no mistake. What happened is he got puffed up, like some of us do, when we get a little touch from God in our lives. And he rebelled. And he lost it. 1 Samuel 15:23. He lost it. Read.
Okay. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king.
Rejected from being king. Why? Stubbornness and rebellion. 16:1 is right there.
And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel?
Okay.
Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided me a king among his sons.
Okay. Saul was anointed. David was anointed. To become what? King. But don't you think you've got it guaranteed? What is the condition for you to retain your freedom and for to retain your anointing? What? Submission to authority.
Amen.
Who is your head? Under whose covering are you operating, living and operating? Who are you accountable to? It's quiet in here tonight. Naturally, if you're a wife, you're accountable to your husband. And your husband's going to make sure that you do. Submit to him.
Amen.
But does a man have to be under authority?
Yes.
To whom? Oh, to Christ. Let's not spiritualize things. Let's not be so hyper-spiritual. To delegated authority always. God has somebody to cover you, to guide you, to correct you. You old renegade. I can see some I know here for the last 10, 15, 20 years ago, for 20 years, that have made a mess of their life because they never wanted to be under authority. See, I'm old and I can speak the truth in love. I don't gain anything, you do. If you listen, you'll obey. You don't like it, I can tell just by, you know, I've got good eyesight, and I can see your reactions. But if I went to each one of you and said, who is your covering? Who is your head? To whom do you give an account? To whom are you accountable? Could you answer? About 6 or 8 or 10 people. Okay? If he passed away, you should find another one, a replacement. Well, there are people that are worthy. Yeah, you've got to find them. Yeah. You've got to seek God so the Holy Spirit will guide you to the right person.
Lord, the Lord will lead you if your heart's right.
Now, there is individual covering. There's multiple covering. Some find one person and they're comfortable with that. Some have 2, 3. I have a multiple covering. I need that. Because I travel, I minister. Huh? But brethren, no one should live, no one should serve without a covering. It's extremely dangerous when you're in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Amen, brethren? Is that good teaching? Okay, let's go to the next condition in order to be to reign in life through Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 16:13.
Okay. Thus were you decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. You did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and you were exceedingly beautiful. You did prosper into a kingdom.
You did prosper into what? Another translation? Are we going to let Richard do all the reading, or is there somebody else who knows how to read?
There we go.
What's the last words?
Danced or advanced?
You advanced, you prosper to what? To royalty. You know, all this emphasis on prosperity might not all, and you know, is not entirely of God. Because many are preaching prosperity out of selfish motives. But does God want to prosper us? 3 John 2, prosper in all things. But God wants to prosper so we can advance into loyalty, royalty. That we can prosper for what was the word you had in your translation?
That you did prosper into a kingdom.
Into a kingdom. Amen, brethren? What is condition number 4? If you want to reign, you must prosper. You must prosper. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about total prosperity, which starts in the spirit and ultimately will be reflected in your daily living, including your finances. Beloved, I want you to prosper in all things, and I want you to be in good health as thy soul prospers. That's where it starts, in the spirit. And then it manifests in the rest of your life, including your pocketbook. But it's not so that you can live like a king. I'm talking about earthly king. Big mansion, big limousine, big fat bank account, 5-star hotels, fancy duds from the best designers, clothes, London, Paris, Rome, $500 suits, $800 suits. Is that prosperity? Come on now, is that prosperity? Now, if God gives you money, lots of money, so that you can invest it in what? In the kingdom. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Or do you like that teaching comes out of Tulsa?
Yeah, that's true.
Out of Dallas.
It's the Mecca, prosperity Mecca, it's called Tulsa. Yeah.
I've been hearing that message for 20 or 25 years, and it has done absolutely nothing to further the cause of Jesus Christ in the world. Let's read a couple of verses, Joshua 1:7-8.
Joshua 1:7-8.
Yeah.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go.
Prosper with? Wherever you go. You can go to the heart of Africa and you'll prosper. You know, there's a lot of people around the world who want to come to America to prosper. And I tell them, stay put. God can make you prosper where you are. I have never helped anybody come illegal to the United States. In fact, I have never given people letters to go to the embassy to get a visa to come to the United States. It's not selfishness. I believe you can prosper even in the middle of the wilderness if you'll do what it says here. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, talks about the man.
Okay. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Nowhere, matter where he might be. Amen. Condition number 5. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 8:4. I'm not going to say, are you enjoying this? I hope not.
Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?
Where there is a king, the word of a king, there is what? But that word power means authority, dominion. It's not talking about Holy Ghost power. It's talking about God's authority invested. God's authority transferred. We can come into divine authority. A king needs what? Power. Authority. That's why God wants to give us authority, so that we can rule and reign with Christ. So, brethren, many times we're asking for the right things, but with the wrong motives. Right things, wrong motives. I want authority so I can boss people around. Push them around. Be the big honcho. Be admired. Okay? Condition number 6. I'm just kind of rushing through this. Deuteronomy 17:18. A king, in order to rule, must be fully instructed in the Word of God.
Okay,
fully instructed in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 17:18.
And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests.
No laptops, no computers. When you sit in the throne, what are you going to do? You're going to make a copy with your own, a long, hard, laborious work. Because, you know, have you seen the Hebrew alphabet? I would hate to have to transcribe whole books of the Bible with my own handwriting. But see, this was so that as they copied, they what? Learn. They memorized. Read it again, will you please?
And it shall be, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites.
Deuteronomy 29:29.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
God wants to reveal his secrets. He's looking for men and women he can reveal the secrets to. Jesus said to, remember, I think I used this verse, to you it is allowed, conceded, to learn the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of God. And to the rest, what? Stories.
It's not given.
Nice little neat parables. See, God wants, a king has to know the scriptures. Do you want to be king? Do you want to rule in this life? You're going to have to get into the Word daily. No other choice. And some of you don't pick up a Bible all week. Lay in the corner, dust. Sunday morning you pick it and go to church. And you carry it as a symbol. But you don't open it. You don't read it. How many people in church search for the scriptures that are quoted by the pastor to verify if he's doing justice to those scriptures? No wonder they're not even subjects in the kingdom, much less kings in the kingdom. Okay? Shall we go on, or is that enough? Well, I'm going to touch, let's say, a few more points. I don't have time, and you don't either, for me to go through them all. Proverbs 25:21, brother, can you read that?
25:21. If your enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink.
No, that's Proverbs.
Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
25:21?
25:2, excuse me.
Oh, 2. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter.
Oh, brother, the honor of the kings is to search out, says the matter in this translation. What have you got in that other translation? Just the last 2 or 3 words of the verse. You don't have to read the whole verse. Go ahead, sister. Huh? Search out the matter. Somebody else? Richard? What? His privilege, the king's privilege, is to discover the matter. In Spanish it says, discover the word. God wants to reveal the secrets of his heart to those that he has anointed, delivered and anointed to be king, be kings in this age. He's looking for men and women he can trust. God has revealed to me many of his secrets, and I don't go around blabbing them. Some people were disturbed what I said the first night. I was bearing my heart before you. I can assure you nothing was done wrong. Some of you didn't agree with me. I don't care. I obeyed the Lord. I trusted the Lord. Do you know, just one little sideline. Do you know that Jesus spoke with the dead? Hello? Where? On the transfiguration. Who did he talk to? Moses. Elijah had never been dead. He was raptured. But Moses had died. And he not only spoke to him, he dialogued with him. Now I'm not telling you to do that. The night that the Lord had led me to this experience, I didn't talk to the dead. All I did was obey God and plead mercy for them. What will be the tail end of the whole story is what? I don't know. It's none of my business. All I had to do was obey and let God do whatever He chooses to do. Amen? See, God wants to reveal the secrets of His heart. To whom? To the kings. So let's read another verse. Are you ready? Let's go to Hosea 10:3. This is another condition. How many do we have so far? This was number 6.
Yeah. Hosea 10:3. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us?
Where and when will God impart His kingly authority? To whom? To what person? To what group?
The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. Now what is to fear the Lord? To be afraid of Him? No. What is to fear God? What does it mean? To fear God is to hate evil. Proverbs 8. To fear God is to depart from evil. Proverbs 16. Okay? You want to have kingly authority, you got to develop first what? Come on. The fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord leads to a life of holiness. Amen? If you fear God, you hate sin and you resign sin. Amen, brethren?
Amen.
I tell you, everything I've said tonight is based on solid scriptural principles. Do you believe that? Do you accept it? Let's read Psalm 2:11.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Want to read the next verse?
No, just that verse.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
It's a command. Must be obeyed. Deuteronomy 17:19.
Well, we read this before. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his
leave
life.
Leave it. And maybe as I transcribed this, I got those scriptures mixed up.
That's okay.
Okay. Now let's go into another condition. This is going to disturb many here. Let's read Ecclesiastes 10:17.
Ecclesiastes 10:17. Okay. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness.
What is the principle? If you want to reign in life, you have to live a disciplined life, even in matters of what? Eating and drinking. Talk about the king and the princess. You have to have control over your appetites, food, sex, and everything else. It's quiet, quiet, quiet. Paul and I went for breakfast this morning, and the man next table ordered 3 pancakes, 3 eggs, 4 biscuits. What else, Paul? 4 sausages. I don't know if he was Christian or not, but I nearly lost my appetite. I didn't. Thank goodness I ate moderately, but I ate. And what about you? Are you a glutton? Are you a whoremonger? Do your fleshly appetites dominate in your life? You'll never be a king. Never, never, never. You'll never reign in life. You'll never reign on earth with Christ. You must lead a disciplined life. Now I'm going to give 2 verses. Proverbs 31:4-5.
31:4-5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted.
You know, is it wrong to drink a little glass of wine? Well, for most people, there's nothing wrong. The Bible condemns drunkenness. But if you want to be a king, don't even drink that glass of wine. Nothing that will alter your states of consciousness. And I believe it has nothing not only to do with alcoholic beverages, I think it has to do with drugs. Amen? Anything that will alter your state of consciousness is a no-no to those that want to reign in life. That means avoid sleeping pills. God promises sleep, rest for His people. Avoid dieting pills. Avoid tranquilizers, uppers and downers. Shame on you if you're a Christian and you're taking drugs. A king cannot take anything that will affect his capacity to judge, to reign. Amen? So there's a price to pay. You're quiet. 2 Samuel 9:7-13. I'm getting to the end.
2 Samuel 9:7-13?
No, 7:9-13.
2 Samuel 7:9.
No, 2 Samuel 9:7-13.
7 and 13. All right, here we go. I got it. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the table's bread and was lame on both his feet.
God wants us to eat at His table, but you can't eat from the world's table and the kingdom's table at the same time. You have a choice. Look at Americans are wasteful, extremely wasteful. What America throws away in the garbage can daily would feed a nation of 50, 80 million people around the world, of starving people. I've been out of restaurants when they haul out the garbage. You know, they serve big plates, huge servings. And if you don't eat it, what do? Put it back in the... Throw it away. I wish they'd serve smaller portions and tell you, if you'd like a little bit more, you can ask for it. But no, they know American appetite is humongous. So what, if you want to be a king, you have to have self-control. You have to put the flesh under. You must subdue your passions. Your appetites have to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen, brethren? Well, let's read another one. I think I got one or two more. 2 Timothy 2:12. How many have been disturbed tonight? I have my hand raised. This is speaking to me too.
2 Timothy 2:12.
Listen to that verse.
If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
If we suffer, we shall reign. If you want to be a king, you must be willing to what? To suffer in order to reign. We avoid suffering. How do we avoid suffering? Drugs. How do we avoid suffering? Speak the word. Don't be cowardly. We all try to avoid suffering. But the Bible says if you suffer, someday you will reign. Suffering will toughen you. Really toughen you so that you can reign. Amen, brethren? Are you still with me? Daniel 7:21-22.
I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Okay. Do you notice? Someone made war against the saints. Who? What is he called there? Huh? The Ancient of Days didn't make war on the saints.
Oh, yeah. The Antichrist.
The Antichrist, the beast.
Beast.
Made war on the saints. But the day came after the war that what happened? Come on, read again, brother. I don't
Until
think
the Ancient of Days came, the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom after what?
After the war.
After the war. After they endured. After they battled the enemy. I want to give you these points. And we're going to bring this to an end. 2 Samuel 11:1. This is another condition. I'll tell you, brethren. Kings must engage in spiritual warfare. You'll never come into kingship if you're not willing to engage in spiritual warfare. Go ahead, read.
Okay. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle.
Kings go forth to battle. All kings, if they're going to be kings, have to go to battle to protect their people against the hand of the enemy. You can't avoid it. How many of Christians in America today are engaged in spiritual warfare? That's why it's amazing. So few kings. So few kings, queens. Nobody wants to fight. We let the enemy run over us. We don't put up any kind of a fight against him. Let's read 1 Samuel 8:20.
That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.
Here it is. That our king might what? Go out before us and what? Fight our battles. That's what God wants to raise kings up in the midst of his people. That they'll go out before. They'll lead. They won't come back. Come, what do you call that? The flank?
Retreat.
Huh?
Retreat.
No, the last people in the rear guard.
Rear guard.
No, God wants them out where? In front. Okay. Read now verse 2. Let me see. Verse 12, brother, the same chapter.
And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of
the
his
The king
chariots.
Will set certain people to make the instruments of war, weapons. You've got to teach God's people about spiritual war. You've got to teach them about the different weapons of our warfare. You've got to devise ways in which the people can create their weapons of warfare to stand against the enemy, to fight him, to battle him. Why? Because according to 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 22, the Philistines, what did they do to God's people back then?
They took all the weapons away.
Huh?
They took the weapons away.
They took all the weapons away, and that's what the enemy's doing in America today with God's people. God wants to raise up some kings that will be on the offensive to instruct God's people and to equip God's people and to be able to encourage them to get into spiritual warfare, to know the weapons, to use the weapons. How many say amen to that? Job 15:24.
Job 15. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to battle.
Kings must always be ready to what? So, brethren, God wants us to reign in life. This life. This day and age. It's true that the kingdom of God was manifest in Old Testament times during the days of David and Solomon. The kingdom of God was manifested during the days of the four Gospels, during Christ's earthly ministry. It was manifested during the first century, the early church, the apostolic church. But God wants His kingdom to be manifested when? Not just in the sweet by and by. Not in the, only in the millennial kingdom if you believe in it. I don't care if you do or not. I believe in the kingdom. Not only in one millennium, I believe God's kingdom is eternal. And it manifests in this world of time and space. The eternal kingdom is the fullness. But God wants to bring that kingdom down to our level so that we can experience it and we can extend it throughout the whole earth. Amen, brethren? That's God's purpose today for the world and for the church. We're just playing games, running around circles, a lot of hoopla, a lot of religious entertainment, a lot of religious excitement. Oh, it's lovely to go to a church of 3, 5, 8, 10, 12,000 people with all the orchestras, with all the singers and musical groups. I mean, it entices you. It excites you. But you know, God said that He was giving His kingdom to a big flock.
I said little flock.
He says little flock.
Yeah.
It has been God's desire to give you what? The kingdom. Now, I don't prize small groups. A lot of small groups are made up of people that are just self-centered, conceited, full of spiritual pride, isolated, etc., 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 etc. God can manifest His kingdom in a group of 20 as well as He can in a group of 20,000. The more the better. But if He can't find 20,000, maybe He could find 2,000. And if He can't find 2,000, maybe 200. It's not the size. It's the dedication. God wants you to be a king. Do you have that desire? Do you understand why God wants to deliver us and anoint us and fill us with the Holy Ghost and give us spiritual authority? It's to do what? To reign in this world. Are we willing? Think it over. Don't rush into a decision. There's a hard road ahead. There's a road full of suffering. I don't know what you believe about the Great Tribulation. Do you believe in escapism? You think you believe that God's going to snatch you away and take you to heaven so that you won't suffer? Do you know there's no scripture that says that when Jesus comes, the church will be taken to heaven? Not one single scriptural passage says we'll meet him in the air. In this atmosphere, the atmosphere of this world in the air, and we will escort him, accompany him as he descends to take over. Did you hear that? To establish his kingdom. And we will be with him if we meet the conditions. If we meet the conditions. And they're stringent. What did I say? We have to change our whole concept of what Christianity is today. Brethren, again I have bared my heart before you. And I don't care if you accept or reject what I've said. I don't care if you believe or not. That's between you and the Lord. But I'll tell you something. What I've shared with you tonight is Scripture. It's God's Word. No additions. No additions. There's more to spiritual warfare than you have known. There's more deliverance. There's more to all of these things that we've talked about in this conference. God brought you here with a purpose. I wish we had 1,000 pastors in this place. How many are pastors? 8 or 10. How many lead groups, prayer cells? On earth, 6, 8, or 10. This is just a small representation of the body of Christ in America. And I congratulate you. And I'm sorry for the rest. I'm really sorry for the rest. These conferences, you won't find them around the country. This is unique. Brother Dorman, how many conferences are being held on the kingdom of God in America today? Few. I would challenge you to go through 50 catalogs of Christian universities and Christian colleges and see how many have courses on the kingdom of God. Next to none. That's what Christianity is today. And they are conservative Christians and Pentecostal Christians, and yet the kingdom is absent. Does the church in America need revival? What are we going to do about it? Just sit with our arms folded? Are we going to pray, intercede, cry out to God for mercy? Not for the damned, living or dead, for us! Let's start there. If you don't believe in praying for the scum of the earth, living or dead, I don't care. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your community. Let's pray for a revival. That's what America needs. It's revival or destruction. Revival or destruction. Chris, I want to thank you for reading Scripture. You did a good job. I will recommend you. I want to thank Glenn for inviting me. He's always been kind to me. Thanks, Dr. Null. Thanks, Chris Simpson. Thanks, Jim Landry. I want to thank all you brethren. You've been so kind to me. I don't have one single word of what? Of disappointment. These 2-3 days have been wonderful. Wish I could stay. Hope to be back in body, not in spirit. I don't want to haunt you.
Hey, Norman, would you pray a blessing over this group as we end this conference? Amen.
I just wanted to give my parting words and then we're going to pray.
Amen.
Okay, would you stand? Hold the hand of your people beside you. It's a show of unity in the body of Christ. I think there's been an emphasis on repentance. We do really need to repent. Repentance is not only for the unbelievers, it's for us. We need as much or more repentance. And we'll never come into the kingdom except through repentance and through obedience. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Just close your eyes. Relax. You don't have to prove anything to anybody, just to God, and start saying, Lord, I repent. I repent. of living a dual life, of pretending. Let me tell you, brethren, we've all been hypocrites. Did you hear that? Let's repent of that. Let's say, Lord, it's going to be different from now on. I'm going to be a little bit more honest, a little more sincere. I'm going to be a man, woman of integrity. I'm not going to try to impress anybody, please anybody, only God. Father, manifest your kingdom. My life, my home, my church, my community, my state, my country. That there will be a sweeping revival that will establish God's kingdom in this nation. This has been a much favored nation. No nation in history has been blessed like America. But we've let the blessing seep through our fingers. Forgive, 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 Father. How many will vow tonight that you're going to start praying for a revival seriously? Say amen between you and God. Every day, ask for a revival. I'm not a good prayer, I'm not a good intercessor. I confess that from the first night. But I do pray for a revival for America and for the world. It's our only hope. Only hope. Not a flamboyant revival. Something quiet and deep in the hearts of men. Maybe tonight, God will have mercy on us and begin reviving us so that through us He could revive others. Amen. Father teaches that we must first be delivered, we must first be anointed, we must first be prospered, we must be first instructed in the Word of God, we must learn the principles of spiritual warfare, we must know all about weaponry, we must be willing to fight, we must be willing to suffer. It's not easy, Father. And I confess personally that I don't have it within me. In part, through your Spirit, those qualities that I need, and that your people here need, to make the kingdom a reality in our midst. Thy kingdom come, not within a century, not within a millennium. Thy kingdom come now, Father. Today, here in Arkansas, here in America. Thy kingdom come. That's revival. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in my life. Thank you, Father. Because these requests are based upon your word. And they're pleasing in your sight. And if we persist in faith, you're going to do it. For your sake, for the sake of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that paid a heavy, heavy, heavy price. Shed his life. Shed his blood. Gave it all so that your kingdom could be manifested on earth. We bless you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Isn't it been wonderful? Amen. Let's praise the Lord. With a shout, with a clap. Amen. Amen. Sit down for a moment. I think Brother Glenn wants to say something here. We're leaving, Paul and I, and shortly to get to Houston at daybreak. Pray for our safety on the road. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope there's a bond of unity between us. And if you want to adopt us as your missionaries, you'll be most welcome. We need you. And I'll tell you something, you need us. We need each other. Pray that God will give me some little bit better messages the next time I come. Okay? Brother Glenn, thank you so much.
The offering was $1,246. Prayer meeting in the morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for that offering.
Prayer meeting in the morning, and then everybody that's still here, you head for home. See you next time you can become, and we hope it's soon. Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.